From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns will continue his series on Paul's Epistle to the Colossians. This epistle sets forth the glorious person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ in a manner designed to increase the believer's love for the Savior and to provide guidance in living the Christian life. Prior to the message by Dr. Cairns, we'll hear a devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as well as some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Genesis chapter 39, verse 12. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. In contending with certain sins, there remains no mode of victory but by flight. The ancient naturalists wrote much of basilisks, whose eyes fascinated their victims and rendered them easy victims. So the mere gaze of wickedness puts us in solemn danger. He who would be safe from acts of evil must haste away from the occasions of it. A covenant must be made with our eyes, not even to look upon the cause of temptation, for such sins only need a spark to begin with, and a blaze follows in an instant. Who would wantonly enter the leper's prison and sleep amid its horrible corruption? He only who desires to be leprous himself would thus court contagion. If the mariner knew how to avoid a storm, he would do anything rather than run the risk of weathering it. Cautious pilots have no desire to try how near the quicksand they can sail, or how often they may touch a rock without springing a leak. Their aim is to keep as nearly as possible in the midst of a safe channel. This day I may be exposed to great peril. Let me have the serpent's wisdom to keep out of it and avoid it. The wings of a dove may be of more use to me today than the jaws of a lion. It is true I may be an apparent loser by declining evil company, but I'd better leave my cloak than lose my character. It is not needful that I should be rich, but it is imperative upon me to be pure. No ties of friendship, no chains of beauty, no flashings of talent, no shafts of ridicule must turn me from the wise resolve to flee from sin. The devil I am to resist, and he will flee from me. But the lust of the flesh I must flee, or they will surely overcome me. O God of holiness, preserve thy Josephs, that Madam Bubble bewitch them not with her vile suggestions. May the horrible trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil never overcome us.
In times of deep despair I lift my eyes unto the hills where comes my help and aid, unto the God who cares for his own, unto the God.
With promises divine. When some sweet day upon his holy hill, I'll lift my eyes to view his precious face with adoration, bow before his throne, and thank and praise him, and thank and praise.
In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his studies in the Epistle to the Colossians. The text is found in chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, where the apostle speaks of the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to God's saints. In New Testament usage, mystery refers to a truth which has hitherto been concealed, but is now being made known or made manifest. In this case, it is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ which is being revealed. Although Old Testament prophets had some idea of the coming and work of the Messiah, that truth was veiled to their eyes. In the New Testament, that truth is unveiled in all its splendor. The mystery of the gospel is revealed in the preaching of Christ. And now with today's message, here is Dr. Alan Cairns.
Paul takes the word mystery, and he says, you want mystery? Here is mystery. Here is real mystery. What is it? Is a divine revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to consider a few fundamental texts here to show you what the New Testament means by mystery. Let's turn to Romans 16, verses 25 through 27. Here's the glorious, climactic ascription of glory to God that Paul uses to end the book of Romans. Romans 16, 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now this is a very, very important passage on the subject of the mystery. Number one, I want you to see this. The preaching of Jesus Christ is according to the revelation of the mystery. Let me put that in slightly different words to make it plain. Insofar as Jesus Christ is preached, the mystery is unveiled. Only as this mystery is opened up is there any real knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching Jesus Christ is according to the revelation of the mystery. Second, let me point it out, this mystery is in itself nothing new in the days of Paul. Now, when you read this at first glance, you could fall into the trap that the dispensationalists historically have fallen into. When you read the great works of dispensationalism, you'll find that they teach that the gospel that Paul received, this mystery was something unique to him. It was hidden throughout all the generations that were before him. Indeed, and I don't want to get off on this again, indeed this is the basis of the whole controversy between one branch of dispensationalism and another when John MacArthur's book came out, The Gospel According to Jesus. And he was saying according to Jesus to be a Christian, here's what it means. And he was told this is not right. This is adding to the gospel of grace. Fundamental to that side of the argument is the notion that the Lord Jesus Christ did not preach the gospel of grace that Paul preached, because that gospel that Paul preached was a mystery up until God revealed it to Paul. That's the historic dispensational notion. Now, a moment's consideration should tell you that only a lunatic is going to say that the Lord Jesus did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. When you put it in bald terms, it's almost blasphemous to say it. He in whom you have the fullness of grace and the fullness of truth, we are asked to believe, did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. It's crazy. But look at what Paul says in Romans 16. In the very text that is depended upon to establish this notion, notice what he says, that this mystery was kept secret since the world began, but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets. Understand what Paul's talking about. Those scriptures of the prophets are the Old Testament scriptures. And he says, by these scriptures, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, this mystery is now made known to all nations. You see what Paul is saying? He's saying this mystery is in the Old Testament. But now it's fully made known. There are actually two ideas here. Two elements of secrecy. Number one, in the Old Testament, the revelation seemed to be limited to the Jews. Who else had the scriptures? Only the Jews. Nobody else had it. But now, Paul says, God has commanded that this truth be made known to all nations. By the way, that's one very good reason. While the Old Testament is written in Hebrew, the New Testament is written not in Hebrew but in Greek, which was the language of the world, not the language of the Jews. There's a second idea of secrecy here. That is, in the Old Testament, the revelation was partial. In the New Testament, it is full. In Ephesians 5, verse or 3, verse 5, Paul speaks of the mystery, and he says, in other ages it was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The word as is absolutely critical here. Any decent lexicon will tell you that it has the idea of in the same manner or fashion. In other words, with the same degree of clarity or fullness. He says it was not made known to them in the same manner or fashion, to the same degree of clarity or fullness, as it is now made known. In other words, it was known in the Old Testament. The gospel is not excluded from the Old Testament. There is no major doctrine of the gospel that's excluded from the Old Testament. But certainly it was not as fully made known, as fully revealed, as it is to the holy apostles and prophets of the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit. Turn to 1 Timothy 3:16. You'll get another great text on the mystery. First Timothy 3:16. And I hope that you understand that the authorized version here reflects, no matter what your critical Greek text tells you or what you've been taught in college, let me tell you, the authorized version reflects the authentic Greek text behind this. 1 Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God. There's been a whole lot of controversy about that word. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, confessedly, says Paul, great is the mystery of godliness. What is this great mystery? Well, you'll see it extends to just about every fundamental of the gospel. Starts with the person of Christ. The great mystery of the incarnation. God was manifest. Actually, probably more precise to say God was manifested in the flesh. It's speaking of the reality of that moment in history when God intervened in the incarnation of his own blessed Son. What a mystery. There's a secret that was certainly in the Old Testament. You can't read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, with its great messianic prophecy without seeing there's a reference to God coming down as our Savior. You can't read Micah 5, verse 2, speaking of the Redeemer whose goings forth have been from of old, from of everlasting, without seeing a foreshadowing of this glorious truth of the Incarnation. You can't read Psalm 22, where you have the Messiah dying, or Isaiah 53, where you have the same great truth, without seeing this mystery is there. But oh, when you come into the New Testament, what a revelation. It doesn't explain everything, mind you. It reveals it. And there's a world of difference. There are idiotic people in this world going to hell because in their blindness they cannot accept a revelation that they cannot explain. If I'm going to wait to explain God before I accept his revelation, I must be damned. Who can explain God? It's impossible. As Dr. Paisley always said, if I can explain the Trinity, it wouldn't be a Trinity any longer. It would be a quartet. And he's right. Only God can explain God. But while it doesn't explain, it reveals that God, without ceasing to be God, without in any way changing his essential and eternal being and nature, took into union with himself a true humanity, body and soul, so that being God and man in two distinct natures but one perfect person forever, he would be the Savior, the Mediator, the Redeemer. God was manifested in the flesh. It's the person of Christ. He speaks of the proof or the proving of Christ. He was justified. And the idea there is, I think, of being vindicated by the Spirit. At every stage, the blessed Holy Spirit set a divine stamp of vindication upon Christ's person and claims. At his baptism, he was there. He filled him without measure with all his fullness. Even when it came to Calvary, it was by the eternal Spirit that Christ gave himself up on the cross. At his resurrection, the Holy Spirit was active with power. On the day of Pentecost, he poured out his fullness. In the formation of the church, he demonstrated his vindication of Christ. He was justified in the Spirit.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.